God bless you on this wonderful August 9th, 2009. Wonderful to be together with the saints and welcome visitors and all to a fellowship around the greatness and accuracy of God's Word. I, too, am excited about the opportunity to have Sal Rico from New York in town to be with us September 12th, Saturday night. That's going to be the greatest concert going on in San Diego or Southern California. Because not only does he have great ability and skill, and his songs that he writes are just outstanding, but God's Word is going to live in those songs as well. So we've got a lot to look forward to, and those who are listening to this on the CD subscription, our subscribers, you're welcome too. So come on into San Diego September 12th. And join us for a great time of Christian music and sweet fellowship. Well, you know who Moses is, don't you? Moses asked God quite a question. You know, sometimes if you're around somebody that's very famous or of renown, You kind of get a little nervous and stuff. And you know, you always want to ask the question, especially if they're very wealthy. You want to ask the question, well, you know, how did you get your money? But you know, you're a little hesitant to do something like that. I mean, this person is probably some, you know, billionaire. And we don't want to, you know, be out of fellowship or anything as far as our relationship with anybody. And but, you know, Moses had the audacity to talk to God and ask him a question. And you know what that question was? It was, God, I want to see your glory, your magnificence, your greatness, your splendor. I want to see that. Quite a question. Maybe a question you've asked too. We hear about the glory of God and everything. What is glory, by the way? What does that word mean? It's all through the Bible. We say it a lot of times, but maybe don't think about what that word really means. Well, by definition, the word glory is that appearance of a person or a thing that attracts attention or commands recognition. It's like splendor, brilliance, the glory of the Lord, His greatness, His shining forth, His splendor. Moses wanted to see that from God Almighty. Quite unique, huh? You know, in the world today, when somebody scores a touchdown, what do? They just kind of walk back to the sidelines and... No. You know, Travis throws a touchdown to his teammate, and what do? They scream and yell, and they have a glory dance, don't they? They get into it. You know, just the other night, some guy for the Padres, it was the ninth inning, hit a grand slam home run. So do you think people just say, yeah, nice job? No, they had going and everything else happening, just like that static you just heard. And they gloried in the greatness of that particular event, didn't they? So, wow, we do this as human beings. We glory in that. We talk about, hey, this guy gets all the glory. That's the quarterbacks. They get all the glory, right? These linemen, Josh, they do all the work down there blocking everybody. And they really make it happen. But, you know, the quarterbacks, the pitchers, they get all the glory, don't they? And what are we talking about there? They get all the recognition, right? You know, they shine forth as the one. Well, let's go to 1 Peter, and let's take a look at a perspective of man's glory compared to God's glory. Because we want to follow through with this question that Moses had. Actually, it was a request to see God's glory. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In here, verse 24, it says, "For all flesh is as grass." We've got a comparison here. "And the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, not just some, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Okay, another comparison here. Well, what happens to the grass? The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So as far as the glory of man goes, it withers away. No matter how great, how wonderful, how tremendous, man's glory compared to God's glory, vast distance between the two, for sure, for sure. It says in Romans, I'll just share it with you, Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's been some wonderful men of God, people that have done some tremendous things for God, and yet their glory far different than God's glory. They've come short of the glory of God. It mentions in chapter 1 of Romans that man changed the glory of God into images, like four-footed beasts and everything. You look at the cultures of man around the world, and their God is represented from little beetles to the sun, right? They have all these idols. They have all these forms of what they look and call to be God. But for us, we know the true God, who He is, and God is Spirit. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Remember that? How long was that? 40 days? And the adversary, the evil one, really put the temptation to Jesus when he said, "I'm going to give you all the kingdoms, all the nations of the world, and the glory of them if you worship me." That's quite an offer, isn't it? The adversary evidently has the authority over all the nations and their glory. And he offered it to Jesus Christ. Thankfully, Jesus Christ said, "No, thank you. I've got a mission here. I am here to redeem mankind." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came on earth to pay the price for all mankind, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we who learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we see how wonderful and great He is, we make Him Lord in our life, we see His greatness, we believe that God raised Him from the dead, and what happens? We get saved, we get born again. Romans 10:9. So, there's a great glory that God has, and we want to answer that question. But before we do, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9, because I want to see a perspective again in light of man's glory and God's glory. Okay, Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." You know, what do we see in the world today? We see those who are wise, you know, they get their Nobel Prize or whatever, and they just are, "Wow, I'm smart." Or what about the mighty man? You know, they win the strongest man of the world, or what, the universe even. And, you know, "Wow, I think our governor won that title at one time, didn't he?" Governor Schwarzenegger. And what about when it comes to man's riches? You know, we glory in our riches. But what does the word say about that? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. Verse 24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this." This is God's word. If you want to glory, if you want to celebrate, if you want to get excited, if you want to really glory in something, glory in this. that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now think about it. You look at the creation, the universe, the magnificence of that. We're talking about knowing the person that made that, that created that. So that's pretty neat, isn't it? That we can know God Almighty. We can understand Him. And why not? Why not? Because when we find out about God Almighty, we see how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. We're going to see what He glories in here in a moment. But look at that. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that should be a motivation for us to what? Learn about God Almighty, to understand and know Him. That's why our ministry is concerned about the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. You know, I don't want to hear a bunch of opinions. I want to know what God's Word really, really says about salvation, about my relationship opportunities with God Almighty. That's, I want to see it. I want to know it. I want to understand it so that I can do it. And that's what God's talking about here, that we can glory in that. I am the Lord which exercise, and here it is, I am the Lord that exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What does God delight in? His loving kindness, His judgment, His righteousness in the earth. That's what He delights in. Well, let's go to Exodus 33 and look at the record where Moses asked God to see His glory. So Exodus 33, please. Verse 18. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Here's that question. And he said, this is Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, this is God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's glory is realized in His goodness. It is in the proclamation of His name, His graciousness, and it's in His mercy. That's where we'll see God's glory manifested, in His goodness, His grace, and mercy. And he said, verse 20, and he said, thou canst see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. That's a little section in the rock, a niche, okay? Fit you right in that niche between the rocks, all right? And will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Why? Because if you see his face, you die, right? Can you get the picture here? You know, God's going to show himself in his brilliance, and, you know, here's this niche that Moses is, you know, don't want to see God, and God passes by, puts his hand on his eyes, so to speak, very figurative here, and Moses sees a little bit, his back parts. In other words, just a glimpse of God's glory. And yet we see here God's glory is realized in manifestation of his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. How do we fit into the picture here? You and I, especially as born-again ones who have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and have believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. As born-again ones, how do we fit into this? Can we see the glory of God? Can we be a part of that? Well, let's take a look at God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start right in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Okay? Their lives was a story. They see them and they see what was written, their epistle, what they had been taught. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You're born again of Spirit. Spirit, where the Spirit is, there is life. And they were written epistles. They had heard the Word. They had believed the Word. They were born again, and their life was a story. Verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? Of God. Right on. Now, not that we are sufficient, we just read that. Let's verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay, what is he talking about? The letter and the Spirit here. Quite a contrast. Well, it's talking a little bit about Moses, and we'll see this. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. What's this talking about? Well, this is when Moses came down the mountains. He had the commandments on stone, right? Do you remember the movie? Yeah. Right? And he comes down with these stones written, and he looks down there, and what are they worshiping at this point? Golden calf. Golden calf, four-footed beast. You know, that's man for you, right? They've got to see God. They have to put him somewhere, beetle, calf, whatever. And so what did Moses do with the tablets? He broke them. He got upset. You know, and then he came down a second time, and they could not look upon him because he was so bright. So the glory of God was just radiating from him. You know, they all had to buy their Ray-Ban sunglasses to even look toward him because he was just so bright, just so shining. If that was so glorious, what about the New Testament? What about what we have today with the new birth, being born again by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law? We're not under the law, are we? Not anymore. Jesus Christ did away with the law. That's why we believe unto Him. We believe in Him. We get born again and we have Spirit. Okay, verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? You know, if that was glorious, now the Spirit must really be glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation is glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, if you didn't catch what that verse said, let's read the next one. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. I think God is trying to make a point here. My goodness. Can you see the contrast? How glorious Moses and those things were. But there's something, and I'm tall, up there, much, much bigger, more glorious. Wow. Where are we at? Oh, verse 13. And not as Moses, no, verse 12. Verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. The King James says, not perhaps a good translation of the Greek the word plainness. It should be boldness, great freedom to speak forward, great boldness to speak. Because when you see what hope we have in light of our glory, you're going to be excited. You're going to have great boldness. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. They just too much, too glorious. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ, that veil's done away in Christ. People read the Old Testament, and there's people that still believe in the Old Testament. That veil is still there. They don't see it. They just don't see it. But boy, when you teach Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil goes, right? You know, in the temple, in the very center of the temple was the Holy of Holies. And there was this big veil, curtain, same thing. Big, thick thing. How many times could you go in and see God being in the Holy of Holies? Nobody could. Only one man once a year could do it. And that was it. But you know what Jesus Christ did? He ripped that veil open so any and every person that's born again of God's Spirit has free access to God Almighty. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that much better than that Old Testament way of living? Oh my golly, it is. Now don't get too excited here, all right? I don't want you getting clapping and yelling and screaming now. The neighbors, we have a sound code here. You can only go so many decibels. Okay? Okay. All right. Where are we at? Verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, nothing hidden, open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you and I, as born again ones, look into the mirror, that reflection is the Christ within. That's what it's really talking about. That you see the Christ within. Because you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. You're born again of Spirit. Spirit's much more glorious than Ten Commandments, Old Testament. So when you look into the mirror, there you should see. I know what we all see in the morning. We're not too excited, maybe. We got to fix it up. But not the Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what's so exciting. Man, oh man. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's work this a little bit. The glory of the Lord is in that Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you're born again. You have that Christ in you. Man, oh man. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God has made it so that we are holy and without blame before Him in love. You have a relationship with anybody, and if you are holy and without blame before them in love, do you have access? It's a pretty good connection, isn't it? Oh, it's a great connection. And that is the connection we have as born again ones. That is what the Word says. Do you believe God's Word? Then we can believe this as true for us, you and I. Having predestinated us, or really better translated, foreordained us before the adoption of children as the King James, it's really sonship, because for us, our sonship is by seed, incorruptible seed. Born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. That's what Peter there. Okay. Having predestined children of Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, God did this because He wanted to. It was His good pleasure to have you as His children. You know, I don't want to say this. Sometimes as parents, our kids just get on us and we go, ugh. God's not like that at all. He is so thankful. He is so blessed to have you and I as His kids. It's according to His good pleasure. Man, oh man. This is pretty good stuff. All right. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. We are to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, or highly favored in the Beloved. You and I are to the praise of His glory. Let's look at that in verse 12. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We are to the praise of His glory. You know what? God looks at us, He sees the Christ in us, and that is the praise of His glory. His shining forth, His great splendor is you and I with the Spirit of God within, that Spirit of Christ within. That's it. That's it. You and I are His pride and joy with His Spirit within. We are His brilliance manifested. We are the ultimate manifestation of His goodness, grace, and mercy. You and I with Spirit, Christ in us, is the ultimate manifestation of His goodness, grace, and mercy. Isn't that fantastic? That's you! That's me! Are you somebody? You are somebody big time. Man, oh man. You know, parents, you know what they do when their kids, you know, they get on the honor roll in their elementary school? What do? They bumper sticker. You know, driving around, you're just as proud as can be because you got a bumper sticker that says, my kid was honor student at Village Elementary School. You know what God does? God in heaven puts you and I on His bumper sticker and drives around heaven with all the angels looking. Says, yep, my praise and glory. They're my praise and glory. Everything that God has done is with you in mind, so that you could be so precious in His sight, that you could be so special. His brilliance, His splendor. You and I, that's it. Now, I know you don't think about that too much, but start thinking about that because it's true. It's really true. It's really true. What about your confidence level now? I'm the glory of the Lord. I've got Christ in me. I'm somebody. God thinks I'm His kid and I am the best. You think you can have some confidence now? You think you can handle situations? Something happens? No fun? Hey, I'm a son of God. I can handle this. I can take on anything because I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. Whew. Okay, settle down. Settle down. With this knowledge and understanding, and that's what we glory in, right? We read in Jeremiah that we glory in this, that we understand and know God. What did we just learn? That we are to the praise of His glory. You know what our response to this should be? Well, hallelujah, but to live it, to walk it, to be it. To walk in His glory. To manifest who you are in Christ. To walk out in His glory. You know, we have something very special inside of us. And it cost God dearly, didn't it? His only begotten Son to go through a very gruesome, ugly death. But He did that so that He could have you and I as His special ones. So why not walk in glory? Why not walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ? Wow. Are we still going to live and shine as worldly ones? No. We want to walk in His glory. 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. God has called us to walk in His glory. To walk in His brilliance. Because we are to the praise of His glory. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Boy, there's that knowledge again. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to what? Glory. Just don't read that and pass over it and don't think about it. Think about what that is saying. Glory is brilliance, splendor. He's called us to what? To shine with great brilliance and splendor. Wow. He has called us to glory and virtue. Virtue is excellence, superiority. That's the best. That's how He's called us, to walk like this. Wow. Pretty neat. I want you to look at your neighbor. There you got, some of you got two neighbors. Who are you looking at? You're looking at somebody that's to the praise of His glory. You are looking at somebody very special, aren't you? Are you going to lie to that person? Are you going to wrong them? No, you're not going to cheat them or misguide them in anything. You want to help them. You want to bless them. You know, we want to live this glory. If we all are like this, then we want to be like this in our life. We want to walk like this. Man, oh man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. A couple more verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is God's Word. That's why we're into the integrity of God's Word, what it really says. We want to get it right. Okay, verse 11, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. A good father what? Charges his children. He says, this is it. This is what you need to do so that that child can have a great, wonderful life. And this is the charge, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and what? Glory. Now just don't let that word pass by you without getting excited. To His kingdom and what? His glory, His brilliance, His splendor. Wow, pretty exciting lifestyle we can live, right? Now I know we all want Christ to come back and gather us together, but why not until then get excited about it? I want Him to hold off so we can really move this stuff, really live it, really be who we are in Christ. Man, oh man. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to make a statement here, and I want to make sure you get this. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 19. To walk worthy of His glory should be the passion of all knowledgeable Christians. Let me say that again. To walk worthy of His glory should be the passion of all knowledgeable Christians. Because that's what the Word says to do. He's charged us to walk worthy. That's why we can renew our mind to God's Word. Because it's so great, it's so wonderful, we know who we are. Yeah, I'm going to renew my mind to God's Word. That's why instead of going to some worldly event, I want to go to fellowship and be around my brothers and sisters in Christ who are just shining. Yeah. That's why we sacrifice our fleshly glories so we can be a glory to our Father in our walk. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, the gift of Holy Spirit? Don't you know? This is great emphasis in the Word, isn't it? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You have Christ in you? You have Holy Spirit in you? That's pretty good. Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. No, you don't. You don't belong to yourself. How come? Because you were bought, right? If somebody bought you, then they own you. Let's read it. Verse 20, for you are bought. In the Greek, the tense is past tense. And ye were bought with a price. The price of Jesus Christ paying with his death, right? We were bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. God bought us with his Son. Therefore, glorify God where? In your body, in your walk, in your lifestyle. Glorify him. Man, oh man. Let's get excited about living the truth of God's word. Let's get excited about speaking the words of life. Let's take advantage of who we are as his glory and live a fulfilling life in his glory. All right, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians here. We got to read this section here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Didn't we hear something like that in the manifestations today? Isn't it amazing how things work out? The manifestation, God just wants to exhort us in certain things. And the teaching comes along, and things just kind of dovetail. Oh my golly, just neat. Well, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, there's that knowledge again, of what? Of God? No, of what? The glory of God, his brilliance, his splendor. Man, I hope today, from this day forward, when you see the word glory, you just won't glory and pass by. You'll say, glory? Woo! Look at it. Every word has significance in God's word. Man, oh man. That is so tremendous that we have the light. He's given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. You know, we've got these flesh here we got to deal with. It aches, it sores. When you bump it, it hurts. Oh my golly. You know, we get headaches and heartaches and everything else. It's flesh, but inside of us is that Christ in us, is the treasure of who we are in Christ. The Spirit of God lives there, and it's eternal, and you and I have eternal life, don't we? And it's a glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. See, we got to go back to God. Keep God in the picture. Keep him in the picture. Let's go to verse 15. Verse 15, we'll close up here. Chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, or on account of you, better translation. All things are on account of you, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, which means to overflow to what? The glory of God. The glory of God! His brilliance, his magnificence. Wow. For which cause we what? Faint not. We don't lose heart. But through, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Man, oh man, that spirit within us day by day is energized to really move out, to really do it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Of glory! Weight of glory! My golly, look what we're going to get when Christ comes back and we get gathered together. All the things that you and I do in our faithfulness to the Heavenly Father, to walk for Him, to do what He's called us to do, man, we're going to have a heavy weight of glory. He's going to reward us. He's going to bless us. Oh my golly. Worketh for us a far more exceeding weight, exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We don't look at what we see. We look at what? The eternal, the spiritual truths. God's word is spiritual. It's spiritual truth. God is spirit. Christ in us is spirit. We don't look to the flesh, but we look to the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? When you see the invisible, you can do the impossible. When you see the invisible and recognize the Spirit of God working in you, then you can do the impossible. Great little saying there. As we look at each other, we are the glory of the Lord. We are eternal brothers and sisters. God has called us to walk the glory road, to hold forth the words of life, to shine out the knowledge of the glory of God. God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, right? All men to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, this way a person can know that they are glory bound, being born again of a spirit. That's why I love speaking in tongues. Man, I speak in tongues and I know I have the Spirit within me, and now, oh my golly, it's Christ in me, and I'm reminded day by day of who I am in Christ as I speak in tongues every day, much. And then, do something about it. Walk out on the Word. Do the Word. You only have one life to live for our Heavenly Father, and He's given a great life for us to live. He's given us a great Spirit. What an exciting lifestyle to shine for God because we're His glory. So, let's walk in the glory that we have been called in, okay? All right, Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that You have had us in Your mind, that You have us now in Your heart, that You know us dearly, Father, and that You love us, and that You've given us Your Spirit, that we can have the reality of Christ within, that we can be to the praise of Your glory as that Christ shines out within us. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here, for their heart's desire to walk the glory walk with You, to recognize who they are in Christ and do something about it, to do what You've called them to do. And, Father, I know we can just ask You what we can do and You'll tell us. We can look in Your Word and Your Word will tell us. And, Father, I just pray that we continue to grow in our realization of who we are in Christ, that we grow in the action that we take to be Your wonderful sons and daughters. So we love You, Father. Thank You very much for making this available to us. And I pray and thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, what are we going to do?